You can be then, again, taking your Bibles and finding the book of Revelation. As we come to the third chapter, we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 21 tonight. And when you find it, if you could rise as we honor our King with the reading of His Word tonight, Revelation 13, verses 14 to 21. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 21. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Almighty Father, again, we thank you that we can break the bread of life. And Lord, in this day and an age in which we're living, may you grant us an ear to hear. May we be praying daily with fervency for those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. May we be praying daily with a fervency for those who have wandered away from Christ. Lord, in this day and in this hour and in this time, the great call for you to the church is to repent. But also, Lord, the great call is for those of us who know Jesus Christ to be a watchman on the wall, to be telling people that the end is coming, the end is near, and now is the time to get our hearts right with the Lord our God. For soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, you can keep your Bible open there tonight. Family and friends, I want to share with you that Sir William Ramsay called Laodicea the city of compromise. And this city was founded by Antiochus II in 261 B.C. Laodicea was about 40 miles east and inland from Ephesus on the Lycus River, and which flows into the Meander River. It is located in what is known as the Gate of Phrygia. Out of the Oriental East, the great camel caravans came down through the Gate of Phrygia and through Laodicea and on this road out of the East and went to Ephesus and to Miletus and also up to what is called Izmir today, but was Smyrna in that day. Laodicea was a spectacular place. It was in a great valley. Today, its ruins are largely covered with growth of what looks like wild oats. Laodicea, the name, means justice of the people. It was named for Laodice, the wife of Antiochus. Between Laodicea and going up to the Phrygian mountains was the great Anatolian temple of the Phrygian god Men-Kheru. This was the primitive god of that area. The temple was the very center of all society, administration, trade, and religion. Laodicea was a place of great wealth, of commerce, and of Greek culture. It was a place of science and a place of literature. It boasted an excellent medical school, which again was very primitive and heathen, but excellent nonetheless. Here was where they developed what was known in the Roman world as Phrygian powder. a salve for the eyes and the ears. Laodicea was also a center of industry with extensive building operations. Cicero held court there. Jupiter and Zeus were the objects of worship there. And the city was finally abandoned because of earthquakes. When we think about Laodicea, the people of Laodicea used to take clay and from the hills and mix it with spikenard. And this they made into a salve for the eyes and the ears. And this salve was shipped all over the Roman Empire. Today, through chemical analysis, scientists discovered that there was nothing healing in that salve at all. But hey, they made good money in that day. I want you to keep this in mind because Christ is going to have something to say about this. And he's going to tell them that you had better get real eye salve that will open up your eyes. Now I want you to look with me again here tonight at verse 14. And we read, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These say things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Family and friends, this is the only place in Scripture where Amen is given as a proper name for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, we read, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, Amen, to the glory of God through us." Jesus is the Amen because He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who will fulfill all the promises of God. And he lets the Laodiceans and us tonight know that, because this is the church that has rejected the word of God. The faithful and true witness, we read here. These words tell us what? That Christ is the one who alone will reveal all and tell all. That's because in that day, it was very difficult to hear the truth. And you know, not much has changed in all these years, because you and I are living in a day where it is very difficult to hear the truth. I guess the wise old preacher of Ecclesiastes was right after all. There is nothing new under the sun. Wouldn't you think that after all these generations and all the modern means by we have for communicating, that we could find truth somewhere, that we could hear truth somewhere, but we cannot find it in our newscasts. We can't find it coming out of Washington. We aren't going to find it on the internet. And sadly, in many places today, we cannot even find it in the church. You want to know why that is? Because too many who name the name of Christ, who named the name of church, have forsaken God's word for man's idea. And so the Laodicean church is the church that is apostate. It is the church that is turned away from the true word of God. The Laodicean church is the liberal church that is in the world that does not hold true to the word of God, and therefore it has no message for people in this hour. And we are living in a day when the myth of evolution, that evolutionary hypothesis, is greatly accepted. And family and friends, there are only two explanations for the origin of the universe in which we live. One is revelation, and the other is speculation. And when it comes to speculation, nobody was there to see it, and nobody's going to come up with an answer for it. But when it comes to revelation, it is revealed in the Word of God. And the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." And that's all we need to know. We need to know what the Word of God has to say to us. Some folks will accept speculation, don't they? We see it happening all over the world. But as for me, I will trust in the revelation of the Word of God. You see, the Bible tells me that God did the creating. And the one who did the creating ought to know something about it. And I think I'm on more solid footing. And I think if you believe in revelation, you're on solid footing rather than those who believe in speculation. That's why our Lord has something to say here in verses 15 and 16. You look there again with me. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, with all the other churches that we studied so far, when the Lord Jesus said, I know thy works, he meant good works. He was commending them for good works. But in the verses that we've read tonight, there are no words of commendation. There are only words of condemnation. Even the works here are not good works. They are evil works. Note what Jesus said, you are neither cold nor hot. Now, this had a great meaning for the people in that day, being down there in the valley. They had trouble getting water into Laodicea, you see. So the Laodiceans built an aqueduct and to bring down cold water from the mountains. But by the time that that water had made the trip all the way down the mountain and into Laodicea, it was lukewarm. Now, I don't know about you, but lukewarm water sure don't taste very good. Down in the valley where the Lycus River joins the Meander River, there are hot springs. And the hot springs are so hot that steam is produced, and the Turkish government has capped it and is using it today. But the Laodiceans would try to take this very hot water and get it into the city. But again, by the time it arrived, it was no longer hot. It was, say it with me, lukewarm. And so when the Lord Jesus said, you are neither cold nor hot, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Now, what is a cold church? Well, let me tell you and let me share with you what a cold church is. A cold church is a church that has denied every cardinal doctrine of the faith, every cardinal doctrine that is found in the Word of God. It has given itself over to a formality and is in active opposition to the Word of God. Liberalism today stands opposed to the teachings of Holy Scripture. Why else do you think America has taken and tried to legislate sin? Now, hot speaks of those who have a real passion for the gospel. And I certainly hope that each and every one of us has a real passion for the Word of God. And that you are holding true to the Word of God. Just like that last church we studied, the church at Philadelphia. Now, between those positions of hot and cold, you have lukewarm. And sadly, this is the position of many churches today. You see, they don't want to come out and take a stand for the Word of God and for the great doctrines of the Christian faith. And yet, at the same time, they don't want to be known as a liberal church. And so what they're trying to do is play footsie with both groups. It's a condition that is impossible because it is a condition that the Lord Jesus Christ says makes him sick. That's what happens when you spew, isn't it? Note what Jesus says. Because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Well, if you've ever been sick, you know what that's like. You know what it is. To my mind, the middle of the road position is like trying to sit on a fence rail. It's the worst form of hypocrisy there is. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. And the Word of God teaches us in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, from such turn away. That's why Christ says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That doesn't sound like a church he's going to rapture, does it? Family and friends, we can't say that we love him and refuse to stand up for what the Word of God has to say. Jesus said, John 14:15, verse 21 and 23. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now here's a question. How can we say we love him if we are unwilling to keep his word? Now Christ has a heart-searching message tonight, because we are living in the day of the Laodicean church. You see, these churches spoke to the seven church ages before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll note there's not another church I'm going to be preaching about from the book of Revelation. That lets us know we're in the last age before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this world today, we have churches like ours that are seeking to stay true to the Word of God, to hold to the doctrines of the faith, and doctrine is very important. You see, doctrine is the truth, and we need to stand for the doctrine of the Word of God. But then there are other churches in this world who are very liberal and very loose with the Word of God, and I am certain that you have heard at some point in the last few years people say that God's Word is outdated, that we need to take some things out, and we need to change it, and we need to do this and that. You see, all they're doing is rejecting what God has said in His Word. We either believe what God has said, or we reject what God has said. There's no gray area. It's either black or white. We're either doers of the Word. Jesus said, if anyone hears my Word and does my Word, He said, be ye doers of the word. I'll get this right. James 1 and 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving what? Your own selves. So you're either a doer or you aren't. There's no middle ground there. And if we reject just one point of what God has said in His holy word, we are guilty of rejecting it all, because God has said we're not to add to it. We're not to take away from His word. That's why our Lord says here in verse 17, watch what He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, the city of Laodicea was a rich city. They believed that the dollar was the answer to every problem in life. Are you aware that after World War II, this became the assumption our American government has been running on? All we do is dole out dollars all over the world. We've done it thinking that we can buy some friends and make peace and settle the problems of the world. You see, we thought all we had to do was allocate money and the problems would go away. Well, the lesson of our nation ought to be a lesson for us all. Money doesn't solve problems. All money does is create more problems. And the Laodicean church made its boast of material possessions. But conversely, the church in Smyrna was poor in material goods, you'll remember. It was the church of slaves and poor folk. There were not many rich, not many noble in the early church, but the present-day church boasts of large membership, prominent people, huge attendance in some of these places, generous giving, ornate buildings, worldly wealth, not spiritual values, has become the measuring rod for much of the modern church. Wealth has been pride, and spiritual values have been largely ignored. So you see, the Laodicean church had nothing on the modern church in many places today. The Laodicean church was not only rich in material goods, it was actually in the business of accumulating wealth. And just like some of our modern-day churches, TV preachers and radio speakers, The works of the Laodicean church were operated as a promotional scheme to raise money to provide luxurious care for the promoters. And even today, we've witnessed that in our generation. You realize in some places and in some churches, folks are being encouraged to write your will to the church. Well, I got to thinking about that. And I think we all ought to leave a living legacy, a gift to the church. After all, what better thing could we do? But we ought not to be encouraged to surrender our whole will to the church. And the money we give should go for the purpose for which we give it. And we ought to be certain of that. So that's one side of the ledger of the apostate church today. We've seen these folks on television claiming they can heal people. People walk up, get slapped in the forehead. Somebody else catches them. We've seen these people on television. We're healing elbow pain for the next 15 minutes for $19.99. You send that in right now, $19.99, your pain is going to be healed. Who does that benefit? It only benefits them. This is one side of the ledger of the apostate church. But then we have the spiritual side of the ledger. And that side in the Laodicean church was a wretched one. No different than what we're finding in many of our modern churches today. There has been, I think you'll agree, a great turning away from the doctrine of the faith. Now, I want you to note, this church was worse than any of the other churches that Christ had spoke to. This church was actually to be pitied because it was so spiritually poor. There was no study of the Word of God in it. No genuine love for Jesus Christ in it. There was no witnessing of His saving grace and of His power in it. And what's worse, it was like a lot of churches in this present age, it was apostate, blind to its own spiritual condition. And because it was then and it is today in far too many places, it lacked the covering of the robe of righteousness. How many of you would agree with me that God has some standards in His Word? And family and friends, we ought not to be ordaining that which God calls an abomination. We ought not to be saying that that's going to be all right. Because it is not all right. It is sin. When we begin to take the Word of God and turn it into a lie, we have become apostate. We have moved away from the truth of the Bible, and our job is to stand up for what Christ has said in the Bible. And thus Christ speaks to the liberal church in our day just as He spoke to the liberal church in that day. I can just hear Him. Thus saith the Lord. Ye call me master and obey me not. Ye call me light and see me not. Ye call me way and walk me not. Ye call me life and choose me not. Ye call me wise and follow me not. Ye call me fair and love me not. Ye call me rich and ask me not. Ye call me eternal and seek me not. Ye call me gracious and trust me not. Ye call me might and honor me not. Ye call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. This is the church at Laodicea. And this is the liberal apostate church in our day. This is the church that a man by the name of Stanley High spoke of when he said, the church has failed to deal with me as a lost individual. The church has failed to offer me salvation in Jesus Christ alone. The church has failed to tell me of the horrible consequences of sin, the certainty of hell, and the fact that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can save. He said, we need more of the last judgment and less of the golden rule. We need more of the living God and the living devil, as well as more of a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The church must not bring me a message of cultivation, but of rebirth. And then he said, I might fail that kind of church, but that kind of church will not fail me. We are living in the Laodicean period today. And the church is failing to be a witness of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, and oh, how thankful we can be for that little word, but the church is not without hope. For Christ says, Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The Laodicean church, the apostate church of our world today, must learn that it is blind, yet it is not incurably blind. It is suffering from a disease, and it needs medical treatment. But the physicians of its famous medical school couldn't do a thing for them. You see, if you're going to be healed, you must come to the great physician. That's why he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, I've said this for a long time. The greatest need of this generation is its need to repent. Repentance is the need of the church today. Simply because too many who are sitting in the church today are like this Laodicean church. They're nothing more than lukewarm, and Christ is commanding us to get hot, to get on fire for God. Note what he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ moved heaven and hell to get to your heart's door? But he's not going to crash it in. He stands at the door and he knocks. And for a long time, the church thought that was talking about Christ standing at the door of the lost person's heart. But note what we're talking about here. This letter is written to the church. Did you ever think you'd live to see a day when Christ would be outside the door of his own church in so many places, and he's knocking at the door trying to get back in? The only one who can open the door of your heart is you. We're the only ones who can open the door of the church to him. This verse reminds us that if we're going to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to feed on his word. Or else how can we be true to it? The Laodicean church is the church in our world today that is moving farther and farther and farther away from the word of God. But there's also a church just like ours in the world today. And I tell you, I'm so thankful for Green Valley. I'm so thankful that there's a love for the Word of God in this church. There's room for improvement in this church. But I'll tell you one thing, we can be thankful. We have a love for the Word of God in this church. There's always room for improvement, isn't there? Because we ain't perfect yet. That we all can say, He's working on me. Could you imagine if He wasn't and we were still here? I'm so glad He's working on us. In closing tonight, you've heard about the apostate church. You see him in our world today. Hearing what Christ has said, which church do you believe is going to be raptured? The one he's going to spew out of his mouth? On the authority of the Word of God, we can be certain of this. The church that will be raptured is the church that is staying true to the Word of God. And the church that doesn't stay true, well, there's a place for them too. It's called the Great Tribulation. Which church do you want to be a part of? Father God, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Lord, we thank you for the so great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank you that when someone prays to receive Christ as Savior, you are all that we need. We don't need anything else. We just need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us and to wash away our sins. Oh Lord, from this pulpit, from these Sunday school rooms, from this church, may the blood of Jesus Christ be preached now and forevermore. May people heed the message that there is a hell to be shunned and there is a heaven to gain. Lord, tonight, as we've had those listening online, there are maybe one or some who are ready to repent of their sin and to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we sit in this church tonight with our heads bowed and as this pastor prays, we are all praying for that one who does not yet know Christ as their Savior. And tonight, if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you pray sincerely from your heart. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your saving grace. Lord, you have said in your word that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have said in your word that the wages of sin is death. And I do not want to die. But Lord, your word says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, right now, I am putting all of my faith and all of my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am repenting of my sin and I am turning to you. Oh, Lord, thank you for saving me from sin. Thank you for your blood to wash it all away. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you're online tonight and you prayed that prayer, you look up Green Valley Baptist Church on your smartphone and you call us so we can get a Bible into your hand so that we can talk with you and pray with you. It's just that important. For those of us here in the church, only you know what God is saying to your heart tonight. Is God calling you forward to come and pray for some lost soul in your family? You say, well, I've done that before. Well, perhaps it's going to take just one more prayer. After all, didn't Jesus say we're to ask, we're to seek, and we're to knock? We need to be zealous in this hour for souls, for the kingdom. We've got souls on our prayer list who are lost and in need of salvation. I've got them in my family. I bet you got them in yours. Maybe tonight we just need to come and pray for someone, somewhere, that tonight would be the night that Christ would reach them for all eternity. Brother Marty, you come and lead us. And if God is leading you tonight, you come.